As I'm sure all of you are aware, the holiday season is upon us. For a significant number of people, the phrase the holiday season refers to just three holidays: Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. There are other holidays at this time of year, however. One of them begins at sunset this evening, the holiday, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, of Hanukkah. For those of you who have the roots in Jewish culture or in tradition, I wish you a happy Hanukkah. Today, I intend to focus on three of the holidays I just mentioned: Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and Christmas. These three holidays share two things in common. When we consider the history of these three holidays, it is clear that the people involved in the origin of each had a belief in God. Many people today would assert the same God. What is less clear is that each of these holidays share a common theme, namely salvation. This theme may not be apparent, so let's look at how salvation is a part of each. In this country, Thanksgiving harkens back to the story of a feast that included the early pilgrims of Plymouth and the indigenous people of that area. Similar feasts had been common in the lands the pilgrims had come from. The story many of us learned was that the first such feast in this country took place in 1621 as a celebration for a good harvest. The feast was a way of giving thanks for God for the salvation from starvation that the harvest would provide. For those of you who may not be familiar with the history of Hanukkah, it commemorates the purification of the temple in Jerusalem. In the 2nd century BCE, the temple had been defiled by hostile foreign forces. The temple purification would require that the menorah be burned for 8 nights, yet there was only enough ritual oil to last for 1 night. Incredibly, once the menorah was lit, the oil lasted for the full 8 days, and the temple was purified. Salvation in this instance centered on what was sacred, the temple. Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus, considered by most Christians to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. Salvation, then, is a common and very significant theme of the holiday season. In spite of this, I find that the word salvation comes up even less than the word God in discussions I have with fellow Unitarian Universalists. Since we tend to be a talkative bunch on the whole, that leads me to believe that we have an issue with the word. An experience from my ministerial training gives me a sense of one possible reason that some of us might have a level of discomfort with the word salvation. The experience occurred during my clinical pastoral education training at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center in northern New Hampshire. I spent 11 weeks there one summer as a chaplaincy intern. I recall quite vividly one particular patient visit. The visit was with the second person I called on my first day of seeing patients. I knocked on the door, introduced myself as the chaplain intern, and asked if the person would care for a visit. I was then invited in. I had no more than told the woman my name and inquired about hers when she looked deep into my eyes and asked, "Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" I tried to take a slow, deep breath, but my stomach was in such a knot that I just couldn't. My response, that universalist theology included the concept of salvation for all, was not the answer she wanted to hear. Considerably later during the visit, I learned that for years, the woman had been a religion instructor at a Baptist Bible college. Our theological perspectives were worlds or possibly universes apart. Well, my intention in being there that morning was to offer pastoral care. This woman was intent on the issue of salvation. My salvation. She was focused on what she believed would be important after I die. I, on the other hand, was concerned about her well-being in that moment and in the days ahead. If any of you have had a similar experience, I can understand why you might be reluctant to engage in a discussion on salvation, or even to have the word escape your lips. Our reluctance to use the word, however, reduces our ability to influence how the word is used and what it means. Our avoidance of speaking to the issue of salvation means that the word tends to be associated with a very narrow definition, not a broad and inclusive one. I wonder what our liberal religious faith would be like today if our universalist forebears had kept quiet regarding their ideas on salvation. It is quite possible that we wouldn't be known today as UUs. Instead, we might just be UUs. As those who follow in the footsteps of our universalist forebears, I believe we have a responsibility to do what we can to keep discussions of important topics and issues such as salvation open and broad. The issue of salvation is as important today as it was 100 or even 200 years ago. It is a topic we, as Unitarian Universalists, not only should be, but in fact are involved in, even while we avoid using the word. Now, I hope those of you who felt a bit uneasy when you first noticed the title of my sermon, I hope that you're not looking to find a way to get out the door without being noticed. Please, keep your seat and take a deep breath. When I speak of salvation, it has nothing to do with sin or what might or might not happen after we die. For that matter, my use of the word salvation isn't connected to whether or not a person believes in God. So what is it that I mean when I talk about salvation? What am I referring to? Let me begin to answer those questions by returning to my experience with the woman I was visiting in the hospital. As you may already have surmised, the initial part of our visit was a bit rocky. We clearly had two very different agendas for our discussion. Her focus was on the distant future, my future, which to her looked very bleak. My focus was on the here and now of her life. I don't know about you, but my experience with attempting to manage someone else's future frequently results in an increasing sense of anxiety, sometimes to the point of despair. I often end up feeling powerless and exhausted. The woman I was seeing just didn't have the energy necessary to keep her focus on my future for very long. Like most of us, when our energy level is depleted, she soon shifted her attention to the present, her present, and the reason she was in the hospital. At this point, you might imagine that the entire visit went very poorly. In fact, it didn't. Once we were both talking about the present moment, she began to share how she felt. She was in pain, and she was fearful of the surgery she would soon be undergoing. My willingness to be with her provided respite in her time of pain and fear. I couldn't offer her the type of salvation she wanted me to have, but I could offer her salvation from at least a small portion of the suffering she was experiencing in that moment. By the end of the visit, she asked that I visit her again post-surgery. I honored her request and visited her 3 more times. At each subsequent visit, she smiled when she saw me and expressed gratitude for my coming by. I'm pretty certain that she would not have considered the time I spent with her as a time of salvation. But I did, and I still do. I believe salvation can and does occur every day for many people. Salvation from pain and suffering, from loneliness or isolation, from injustice, from limiting or constraining ways of perceiving the world, and any number of other forms you might imagine. Salvation, in the way I'm using the term, can include many things. Things of this world and of this lifetime. More than that, salvation doesn't have to come from beyond or outside of us. Here, I would have us recall our reading from the Gospel of Thomas. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If this was a message that Jesus was conveying to those he spoke to, it is very different and more expansive than the concept of salvation that is being preached in many pulpits each Sunday. I believe this is a message that we as Unitarian Universalists can both accept and actively support. Here, I return to my earlier assertion that we as Unitarian Universalists not only should be, but also are actively involved in matters pertaining to salvation. Using the expansive concept of salvation I just put forward, let's consider a few of the ways we are involved in this issue. To begin, we can look at what our first principle calls us to do, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Each and every time we live out this principle, we are offering salvation from condemnation. What a difference affirming a person's worth and dignity can make in someone's life. While there may be times we fall short in this area, my hope is that we do our best to live out this principle not only with others, but with ourselves as well. And then there's the work we do in our religious education. As the Unitarian Universalist minister William Ellery Channing asserted nearly 200 years ago, we don't attempt to stamp our minds upon the young. Instead, we strive to stir up their own. We seek to assist the young in our programs to bring forth and develop the best that is within them. It seems to me that our efforts here are in accord with the message in the Gospel of Thomas. We trust that if our children and youth are able to bring forth the best of what is within them, they will be saved. Saved, at the very least, from blind obedience to dogma. In the wider world, we work to bring salvation from suffering. In Unitarian Universalist congregations across our land, we've given generously of our time, our money, for major disasters, including hurricanes, earthquakes, and tsunamis, and also for local community needs, such as food banks and homeless shelters. And in the face of global climate change, we put forth significant effort to save the environment that supports all the living creatures of this planet we call home. Efforts from recycling, to using more efficient light bulbs, to turning down our thermostats, to riding bikes instead of driving to church, and so much more. In so many ways, we are living out our principle of affirming and promoting respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. I could go on and on with examples. My hope is that at this point, you could go on and on as well. These are just a few of the ways we as Unitarian Universalists are actively involved in matters pertaining to salvation. Now let's circle back to how it seems we tend to avoid the word salvation in our discussions. I realize that there is another possible explanation for our avoidance to use the word. It is possible we don't want to bring attention to ourselves and all of the salvation work that we are doing. I recognize this is a possibility. I doubt it is the primary reason most of us don't include the word in our conversations, however. Whatever the reason might be, during this holiday season, at a time when the theme of salvation is so prominent, I would encourage us to keep up our efforts in doing salvation work. I would also invite us to find opportunities to use the word in a way that supports its broader meaning. In doing so, we might just save some of the meaning of the word. In doing so, we may empower those who will carry our faith forward into the future. And we might just give them ways to feel comfortable speaking of Unitarian Universalism as a tradition that expands and offers salvation, not to the few, but to all. So may it be.